This is the Planning Commission work session for Thursday, March 1st, 2018.
All right, so I'm Hunter Decker. I'm the Clark County Forester, and I just want to thank you all for coming tonight for the work session for me presenting the current use applications for last year, 2017, to be accepted for this year, 2018. So I'm just going to kind of start out with what is open space. If any of you are kind of not quite sure what it all means, so the state legislator recognizes that, you know, critical areas, places where there's natural resources, areas of scenic beauty. They want that to be protected. And so they govern under the state RCW 8434 code and WACS 458030. And then under our Clark County code 3.80. So some background. Again, it was acquired through the Washington State Revised Code, and to that code, we're supposed to process these applications as the same manner as a comprehensive plan amendment. And so these are usually turned in the year before, and then they're evaluated for the next year for the preceding tax assessment for that following year. So all the requests require the Planning Commission's review, and then they're approved by the Clark County Council. And so this is the 31st year we've been doing it in the county. So what requests? We've got 5 requests this year. We received 0 for timberland classification. And out of the 5 open space that I've reviewed, that they meet the criteria for our open space 3.08 and then the subsequent chapters following that. So there's some approval criteria for all of them, and so they must meet a parcel size of at least 10 contiguous acres, exclusive of 1 acre of a home site if they live on it. And the exception for that is that historical sites can be less than 5 acre tracts. And then all open space applications need a weed control, effective noxious weed control program, and Clark County Vegetation Management is responsible for controlling noxious weeds in the county. And so the county and all its citizens and these open space applicants must abide by the noxious weed control program that the county sets forth for everyone. So we have no timberland applications. And we'll start with the first open space where we'll be transferring from the soil conservation to historical sites and stream protection. And so I've listed the, I know it's a lot of writing, but if anyone wanted to really get into the text, I've kind of laid it all out there. But as far as code says, historical sites, as long as it's registered under a local, state, or national registrar, all the land containing that area will be under the historical site classification. Stream protection are areas, at least in most of these applications, they're straddling major streams that are designated by our Shoreline Master Program, and therefore meet that applicable requirement for stream protection. So our first application is the Hunter Project. They're going to request 14.32 acres of their 14.32 acre parcel. The site's located here. On-site review, there are two historical buildings on site, the Berthla Bertie Field House, and it was built in 1910, and then the Kappus Greenery, which was built in 1929, and they're both listed on the Clark County Heritage Register. This area is also within the shoreline management zone of Salmon Creek, and therefore the application meets the historical preservation as well as the shoreline protection in the specified chapters. And therefore, I recommend the approval of this project. Following is some maps. And so I think I would possibly open the floor for discussion for each application, or do we want to go through them all and then discuss afterwards?
In each one, since I'm going to go through all each one, I think because I think different. Or,
Yeah.
So, on the map to the left, which parcel is the 100 parcel? Is that one in the middle with the arrow on it, or
The one that has the orange in the on the left hand? Yeah. So the blue outlined parcel
on
the middle.
I see the blue now. Yeah. All right. So my eyes aren't very good.
And so the following orange in the comp plan is agriculture, and then surrounded by R5 zoning. The other map shows the shoreline designation on the parcel.
So there's no way we could put a road through there?
Well, maybe a lot of permitting.
Yeah, right.
What's the buffer zone? How much of a buffer zone?
I believe that's a 200-foot buffer off of Salmon Creek.
Is that pretty universal, or does it vary?
Sometimes it could be a 250 if it's the stream's wider in channel and more significant to the state.
So flow determines the buffer?
Flow and the state really puts the classifications of their high priority shorelines of the state. And then the county looks at that and addresses that in their comp plan for their shoreline master program. And I could bring up a live map as well to show where other current use applications in the area have been approved.
Yeah, because to me, that's sitting in isolation. So is there a way you can just give us a bit of context?
Yeah, my comment wasn't entirely a joke, because I know at one time in South America, there was the possibility of extending 154th across SR-503 and connecting on the east side. And there had been something of a secret in the Montreal Atlas about that.
This is the parcel we are in discussion about. And so the green polygons are already active open space current use
Okay.
applications.
the obnoxious weed program, that's, they have to maintain their own parcels?
Yeah.
Who oversees that, though?
Clark County.
So you're like ragwort, tansy, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
And the shoreline zone goes along the full length of Salmon Creek in that area?
Yeah, I could
think better. Oh, if you know it does, just that's good enough for me.
Yeah, it's on both sides.
Of, okay.
I think this might show it.
So actually, I did misunderstand. I thought you were showing us the parcels. That parcel yeah. might conceivably be around for a road connection. If, is there any reason a property that's been designated open space could not be considered necessary for a road?
You mean if the county was to come in after the fact and deem it that we need a road to go through? I don't have enough experience to answer that question, but I could maybe give you an answer that more than likely they might be able to acquire that piece from the landowner and then remove that portion from their designation. So say they have 14 acres enrolled and a road wants to go through and it's going to be 2 acres, might have to remove 2 acres from their designation. But then that would they would have to more than likely talk with the county about that, or the county would have to deem that. Greater benefit, or maybe my supervisor could butt in and answer that.
Maybe totally moot anyway by this time.
I would think through the negotiation process with the property owner and agree with what happened. The county would probably have to cover the cost of the back taxes if we're acquiring that property. You know, but then there comes into question the public ownership of property. Like when we buy it for conservation futures purposes, we don't have to pay the back taxes. So I'm not sure how that would shake out, but I think the attorneys would help us with that.
I don't think it would interfere with a road being established, but I think if that were on the arterial atlas and that was the place for a road would go through, and now some of the buffer areas and so forth would interfere. But the tax status, I don't think so.
Well, probably is moot. There's something we were looking at really seriously. As I recall, we can pull
out. You can pull out.
What's that?
You can pull out.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Good, yeah.
You're going. Do
you know how to pull up the arterial atlas?
Is that just.
To be a layer called arterial atlas?
Yeah.
One of the map sites.
Transportation system.
So the real classification?
Yeah.
Some
And is there any specific obligations on them because of the heritage status?
I'm not sure what the obligation is for a historical building to be on the register, but I could find out from Jackie Camp, who is in charge of that program, and ask her if there's things like for that question.
Yeah, because normally...
What sorts of obligations are you thinking of?
Well, sometimes there's a requirement that it can only do certain building improvements and modifications to the landscape. And I was just wondering if there's anything that ensures that they're going to keep the historic value of the property or whether they can just slowly erode the historic site.
Well, the property
owner is serious. I didn't hear the original question.
The question is what obligations you have to maintain the historic character.
Okay. So I guess my understanding, anyway, is if I want to do something, I go to the Historic Commission and get it approved.
Okay.
I think that's what the obligation is.
Yeah.
And that they would make an assessment of whether it was compatible with the historic character.
Because usually it's a pretty onerous process, and that's why I was there.
We're pretty committed to, you know, maintaining the buildings. The buildings they were moved to the property, so...
I was going to say, is it Capus Granary from...
Richfield, yeah, and the Bible House is from Camus. So one of the issues there is whether...
Yep.
The context of the buildings is part of what you're preserving, and in this case, there's not a lot of context.
Yep. With you on that. Okay.
I think it should be pointed out that the arterial atlas does show a minor urban arterial east-west right through the parcel. It was on the previous screen we had. And that may call for...
Where?
Well, it was on the previous screen.
It was a selection of, I think, the section. Not, it wasn't a road or anything.
Did you see it, Bill?
It was there. I went through my pen right across a few minutes ago. Went all the way over to 159th. It was a turquoise line.
Is that what you were looking at?
Yeah.
That's a section.
Okay.
Next one?
All right.
All right, this is a transfer from farm and ag classification to soil conservation and stream protection. Again, this has the shoreline master program, and then the soil conservation, these tracts have to have not less than 10 acres of class 1 and class 2 soils, and they must at least have 80% of the tract in production of food or fiber. This is the Cominga family. They have requested 80.97 acres. The site is located at this address. So when I reviewed it, they have class 1 soil that's greater than 10 acres, and at least 80% of it was in food and fiber production. It's also within the shoreline management zone of Whipple Creek. So the application meets those criteria. So here's some review maps. The comp plan, it's in agriculture. And then you can see on the shoreline designation on the other map of their buffer. I'll go back to the live map. This parcel and then this parcel. So these are the surrounding properties that are in current active status for current use. So they were in farm and ag, but they weren't qualifying for commercial farm and ag, so they were getting removed from the program, but they were able to reclassify under stream protection and soil conservation. Application, they're requesting 24.63 acres. Northeast Strutton Road's the location. It's within the shoreline management zone of Mason Creek and the East Fork of the Lewis River. And the application meets all the criteria for open space stream protection. So it has, it's in agriculture, and then this is the shoreline designations. There's a, I don't know if it's BPA or gas line right away that's running through the middle there. That's what that is delineating. Get to the live map. In the program.
That might be the Williams platform.
Yeah. Any questions, concerns? Okay, so now we have new applications. Those were the reclassification from Farm and Ag. So these are new applications. stream protection and soil conservation. We have the Tudor LLC, which is in Ridgefield. It's 2.79 acres. This was a portion that the BNSF Railroad tied landscape to the neighboring landowner in a trade, I think possibly for easement rights. The whole site is located within the shoreline management zone of the Lewis River. And so the acreage is contiguous with the same ownership already in the program, and therefore it meets the stream protection ordinance. That's the railroad bridge. You can't see it, but it's crossing the Lewis River there. And that's the parcel that's for approval. The live map here. This is the Morgan property out in Ridgefield with the Lancaster House. If you know the area, all the open space designation there's the same landowner. It's north of the Ridgefield Wildlife Refuge. This is stream protection. The Lewis River is in the shoreline master program.
That looks like most of the parcels are in the stream.
Yeah, so kind of a little tidbit is as the Lewis River runs, these tidal lands accumulate soil and debris and they end up kind of creating more land. And so that's kind of what's been going on there on the edge of this river there. So that parcel could have a little more land someday, but it just kind of depends what the river does. Any other questions? Or? All right. One more. That was probably the most complicated one. We have Charlene James. She's requesting 79 out of the 80, so 1 acre will be her home site. She's located southeast Evergreen Highway, southeast of Washougal, pretty much down on kind of the Columbia River. So she has class 2 soils greater than 10 acres, and 80% of that is in food and fiber production. And she also has her 3 parcels in the shoreline management zone of the Columbia River. And therefore, she meets both the soil conservation and stream protection chapters. Kind of the overview of the other parcels in the program. When she first applied for this, she was applying for 205 acres, but during her application and to this point, when I confirmed with her, she had sold half of that property to, I think, the Columbia Land Trust. That's the stuff going west. So I recalculated her acreage and to make sure it was still applicable application and made those adjustments for the 79 out of the 80 acres for the enrollment of the program. Any questions, concerns? And then with that, we could answer any other questions or concerns. We could pull up other, go back to other programs or, applications. Nope. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yep. Thank you.
I didn't, is it on the email? I thought there was, are we talking any more reviews tonight? Or
no. Not tonight.
Okay. I didn't see anything. Is there anything else on our agenda
tonight? No. March is just going to be open space. And we're not having a meeting in April. So I think our next meeting will be in May.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I guess we're adjourned then.
Yep.
Thanks for coming.
And I'll send you an updated docket.